I don't necessarily think this is going to be a close race.
Really?
That's kind of my bold statement.
Really? Now, that is a bold statement.
And I mean close. Like, I'm not saying he's going to win by 10 lengths, but I think it's going to be opening like up five
three,
lengths.
Three or more?
Yeah,
five.
Three or more.
There were these two racing dudes named Aaron and Jared who had advice on racing and they wanted to share it. Started a website where players go to see all their picks. The goal was make the fans some money and to cut down the risk. They put the plan into motion and at first it seemed silly. Make a website where the expert picks are freer than Willie. From a racetrack veteran to just a beginner, there's one place that you want to go to find you a winner. As a matter of fact, I want to hit the Exacta. There's only one site that you'll keep coming back to. So next time that the horses all line up at the post, make sure you use the website that'll win you the most. Whether Churchill, Oaklawn, Gulfstream Park, Saratoga, and all tracks in between, there's only one site to go to. When it comes to your racing needs and all of your bets, plus it's got a catchy name that no one ever forgets. RacingDudes.com for all of your needs. RacingDudes.com for all of your leads. RacingDudes.com for all of your bets. RacingDudes.com as good as it gets. RacingDudes.com for all of your needs. RacingDudes.com for all of your leads. RacingDudes.com for all of your bets. RacingDudes.com as good as it gets.
What's going on, everyone? I'm Jared Welch. He's Aaron Halterman. This is Blinkers Off. What's up, dude?
Hey, what's going on, man? We are, about 2 days away now from one of the most exciting prep races maybe in the last, 4 or 5 years when you look at actual top-ranked horses going against each other in the same race before the Kentucky Derby. We never get that anymore.
No, they always avoid each other until the Derby, and then, of course, we get to see them then. But, yeah, this is... It's really worked out. The stars are aligned. Mohim and Nyquist, the Florida Derby. You know, obviously Nyquist traveling across the country for that $1 million. I mean, the way they see it, it's like it's worth as much as the Kentucky Derby. It's a $2 million race for them because if they win, they get a $1 million bonus. So that's been a great incentive for them.
Yeah, and you think about it, like you said, $2 million race for them if they win it. And they're facing Mohamed, who will be very tough. Let's not make any bones about that. And then you're facing a field of nothing after that. So if you beat one horse, you're going to get...
I mean, the fact that they got 10 horses is amazing.
They basically went to the stalls and just threw anything they could into the race to try to fill it.
A bunch of cardboard cutouts.
Really, that's what it is. We'll touch on the race a lot later, but... it's unreal that they're going to get just as much for winning the Florida Derby as if they were winning the Kentucky Derby, when you're going to have to face 19 of the best 3-year-olds.
You essentially have a match race here for a $2 million race. So
you finish second in the race, it's still a good payday. So
I mean, we'll talk so much more about that. Let's retract. Let's go back last week. Curlin is no longer the North American leader. He did it. California Chrome did it. Not only did he do it, he looked beastly.
Yeah, he did.
It was the best race ever, as far as I'm concerned. From him.
From him, absolutely it was. You know, he just went over there and handled everything so much better this time. Perfect ride, perfect stocking position, everything. Just mm-hmm. great. And
other than the saddle slipping.
And how about that? Yeah, the saddle slips in the race, and man, that could have been a major disaster.
Oh, my.
But
you don't see that happening in $5,000 claiming races, but let alone $10 million Dubai World Cup.
You know, and we kind of talked about this the other day. Victor Espinoza has just become this guy who's calm, cool, collected. He's given great rides in these huge races.
The biggest moments.
Yeah, and can you imagine riding for home and you know the saddle has slipped and you're going to have to somehow athletically still get this horse to the wire?
Think about it. In his last four biggest races, let's not count the Breeders' Cup, because, I mean, that was a big race. But
$5 million, yeah, a big race.
But as far as the Triple Crown race, to go to Mary Farrow, you have the Kentucky Derby, which... You draw outside.
Yeah, 19 holes.
And it's mm-hmm. It's a Kentucky Derby. And a Preakness, when you have a freaking downpour thunderstorm come through at the very instant they're coming out of the gate.
Yep.
And then, of course, the Belmont, which, for history. And then this race. And then the Breeders' Cup. And every time, it's just Mr. Cool.
Yeah.
No issue.
Now, it obviously helps have the best horse in the race.
It does help.
But, again, like you said, he's had to overcome obstacles. The saddle slipping may have been the worst of them all. But yeah, I mean, look at the Preakness. And he basically, out on the track, changed his strategy of what they were talking about doing. He thought, mud, get into the lead.
Yeah, just not messing with it.
Yeah, and then the Belmont, he still could have... done things to screw that up, and he didn't. He's been really solid. But back to California Chrome. Really proud of California Chrome. Curlin, one of my favorite horses of all time. Reason I got into it, I don't have any ill will towards California Chrome breaking that. Records are meant to be broken. I love to see it.
No, I mean, if you take out the ownership of California Chrome, it's one of the better stories we've ever had in racing. A cowbred that really was meant to do nothing, really was nothing. We saw him when he was nothing, you know, when he hit the Breeders' Cup that year as a two-year-old. We didn't even know it. You know, he was running in the undercar. We didn't even realize he was there. Next thing you know, the rest is history. Yeah, so, yeah, it's great for the game. Like I said, take off the ownership side, which completely idiots as far as I'm concerned. But that aside, we also had another big event, the Louisiana Derby. Initial thoughts real quickly. I know if you go to racingdudes.com, you get all the thoughts you need. But what are your thoughts on the race?
Well, I mean, Louisiana Derby, I think it was what it was. I'm not going to sit here and run down a five-length winner, but I don't think Gunrunner is great, like a lot of people do. I don't think he's terrible, though. I think there's a lot of races out there for him that he can win. Absolutely. He's going to be a very serviceable horse. I don't think the Kentucky Derby is one of those races that he can win.
If you remember the podcast last week, people that listened last week, and you remember how much we trashed, not Stand By It, trashed the handicap that day.
Yeah, the New Orleans handicap.
Yep.
Yeah, go ahead.
And they ran a faster time.
By a second, actually, by a full second.
I said the handicap ran a faster time.
Right.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, so, I mean, that was kind of sign number one. I think visually, when you watched the race, you thought, man, Gunrunner, he really looked good, which he did. But you watch it again, he finished on the wrong lead. I don't know what that's all about. Maybe he's goofy. Maybe he was tired. I don't really know. And then, of course, you have to mention it because it was a huge story. Motom, your favorite horse, the horse you just love, trouble once again.
I was going to say.
I mean, just awful.
People have refused to listen to me. This is what I keep saying about this horse. You cannot trust him. And I know, poor horse, it's not. Maybe it's not him at all. Honestly, he. Corey Lennery was off the horse by the time I got back to the barns. I mean, the guy's done. He made it even after the race. Yeah, they're not going to let me back on this horse. And they're not. He's off the horse. But it's just, what can you do? I mean, the poor horse just continues to get in trouble. And I keep saying it, it's not going to get any better going forward.
Well, and you said it, you make your own trips, and I agree with that. I think a couple of his poor trips maybe have been accredited to him kind of just, you know, getting himself in a little trouble. Now, this race, though, I would have to say, and I know you agree with this too, that was a huge jockey error. I don't really think, I don't blame the horse for what happened there. No. I think the horse was definitely going to make a run or get a, you know,
I just don't understand with a horse like that that is clearly kind of like a sudden breaking news where you just need to give him room because he's going to come flying late. Just get him to the outside. Just let him run. Give him a chance. And unfortunately, they've not been able to. So I get, I guess, those believers out there, but if you really going to put any money and say that horse is going to be able to improve going, you know, with 19 other horses, that's going to be rough. But the overall picture for me is just the Louisiana Derby is yet to really, we've not seen a Louisiana Derby that's showed us a horse that we can get excited about. You know, that is a Kentucky Derby type horse.
We haven't, and I don't think we've seen it here either. I wasn't impressed with anything that finished behind him other than Motom. You know what? It's still an exciting race. I'm glad we've, you know, Gunrunner is at least a top 10 prospect now, at least one we can throw in there and talk about. It wouldn't just be a complete shock if he was to win it. It would be pretty big, but not huge. So
you can't say this. The horse is improving. Every race seems like the horse continues to get better. So you definitely can't knock the horse and every reason to continue to get better. So good. I mean, other than that one race that it was on the slop, the horses won every race. So, and he continues to get better. On the other side, real quickly, we actually do have a UAE Derby winner that's coming. We didn't think it would happen.
Yeah.
It's coming to run on the Kentucky Derby.
Well,
another Tappet.
Another Tappet, another gray Tappet with that. Lanny, I think they said Lanny, but you know, he is what he is. Yeah. I ranked him 19th on the Derby rankings.
Just because he won.
He won, he's in. I'm thrilled that the winner's coming.
It didn't go wasted.
Yeah. We didn't waste 100 points. That's great. Look, I don't think much of him. I'll just be honest.
Well, no. We went over it last time. I can really get excited about one of these. It comes. It's cool. He looks cool. He's, like I said, he's a tappet. It's cool that he's going to come over. It adds a little more excitement every time you have that new shooter, beat Polar River.
He'll take money.
Yep.
These horses continually take money. What happens, they'll come over and they'll look great and everybody go, oh man, I think he's going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I bet he's 20 to 1, which is taking money in the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Hey, what was the best thing you saw today?
Oh, this is a good one. You're going to like this one. Right. It's kind of a, I didn't really see it. It's kind of a story. So, I'm getting ready to leave for your house to do the podcast, and my mom says, I was thinking the other night, I want to listen to your podcast all the way from the beginning to now. And I said, Mom, we've done 172 podcasts. You can't listen to all of them.
Yeah, good luck.
So, but she made me get on her phone and show her how to listen to them. So she says Mondays and Wednesday nights she gets bored, so she's going to listen to the podcast for the first time.
Dude, that's the best thing ever on this podcast.
I agree.
And by like Christmas when your mom gets to this episode. So thank you.
I told her don't go back all the way. Maybe go back 10 or 11, but don't.
Yeah.
But I said you have to listen to this one first because we're gonna give her a shout out. So
hey.
So
Carla, thank you very much. We appreciate that. I mean. I don't even do that when I'm off on Mondays and Wednesdays. So,
well, it's funny. I said, we'll listen to it Friday because it goes up Friday. Because no, I'm bored on Mondays and Wednesday. I don't know why, but it's bored on Monday and Wednesday. I want to watch it. Then. Right. I want to listen to it then. So she's gonna do it.
Maybe we can start doing one on Mondays too, so that way she has another one to listen to.
One's enough.
Okay. Best thing I saw today. It's not really. It's kind of the best thing. It's like bittersweet. I guess this probably doesn't follow the bit. Calvin Burrell retiring.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily the best thing I saw today, but you think about all the, what you obviously, what do? You go through and watch all his huge performances. Sure. And those are the best things I saw today. You can't help but go to Mind That Bird every time you think of Calvin Burrell, Rachel Alexandra in the Preakness, things like that. So to me, that was the best thing I saw today, getting to relive the Mind That Bird. The Mind That Bird performance in particular. I retweeted it. If you follow us on Twitter, you probably saw it. The call itself. Don't even know it's Mind That Bird until he crosses the wire. Unbelievable. Just unbelievable.
I loved Calvin. He's going to be missed. I loved his, not only his Derby performances, but after the Derby. Interview him. Uh-huh. He's just, whether you love him or hate him, I tweeted this out. Whether you loved him or you hate him, you think he's a great writer or just an average writer. You cannot deny he was the face of this game for a 4 or 5 year period there. And he's a household name. Everybody knows that guy. And you know why they know him? Because of the absolute joy he showed on the racetrack. People that my wife's grandmother is a great example of this. She doesn't know what's a good ride and what's a bad ride, but she sees the guy crying and going crazy and she sees how much that means to him.
Mm-hmm.
And she gets attached to him.
Yeah.
And that's great. So for that reason, I think he totally deserved the Hall of Fame. And I wish him the best. I hope he, whatever he's going to do now, hope he does well.
Commentary for TVG.
I don't think that. I don't think commentary is where Calvin is headed.
Maybe. He's gonna be the guy like the Zoe Cabin that goes over after the race. They don't even know what he's asking. Like, what the hell did you just say?
Wouldn't that be great?
It's just silence. That's all right, so back cool. to you. All right, today's show we preview the 1 million Grade 1 Florida Derby, the Mohamed versus Nyquist match race, and there is another Kentucky Derby prep race, the Grade 3 Spiral Stakes. Give rapid-fire selections for stakes races around the country and break down the final Kentucky Derby future wager pool. Let's go! This Saturday at Gulfstream Park, race 14, the Florida Derby. It's a Grade 1 worth $1 million for three-year-olds going a mile in the eighth. But bigger than that, it is a fill of 10. But we have a match race on our hands, folks. It is Mohamed versus Nyquist, the East versus the West. Our number one versus number two horse. Almost everybody in the country is number one versus number two horse. They finally match up in April, 5 weeks before the Kentucky Derby.
Saturday, April 2nd, Gulfstream Park. It's an East versus West battle for supremacy at the ExpressBet.com Florida Derby. The top two Triple Crown contenders, Mahayman and Nyquist, face off at America's number one thoroughbred track.
Mahayman to the front and remains unbeaten.
Nyquist, in fine fashion, takes the San Vicente.
Saturday, April 2nd, the ExpressBet.com Florida Derby. First race, 12 p.m. Welcome to your playground.
Mahayman drew outside. He drew the nine hole. Nyquist drew inside, relatively, the four hole. What, I mean, how do you see this race playing out? Where are you going? What do you think about this?
I think it's going to be a real match race because I think they're going to be right there within at least a length of each other the entire way around.
I do too.
So that's very exciting. I mean, the other eight horses in the race, you can kind of just forget about them because they're not in the same class as these two.
While I was handicapping this, by the way, I thought if you pick anyone else besides these two, it's not because you're a good handicapper.
No.
It's just because you wanted to play against chalk. You're just taking a wing. That's it.
Yeah. No, you're just trying to look really smart.
You know. I don't mean that negatively, because I mean, if you don't play chalk, you don't play chalk. You try to beat them, but
yeah.
There's no way you can look at this race and say, well, I think Mahayman and Nyquist are pretty vulnerable here.
If you are going to try to beat them, Fellowship is the only horse that you could make any kind of case
yes.
for. You can't make much of a case for that horse, but maybe the horse is getting better. Maybe the horse, if it gets a nice pace to run into, can do okay. But back to really, I mean, it's Nyquist versus Mahayman. Look, to me, the Kentucky Derby comes down to this, and this crop and what's going to happen with it comes down to this. Uncle Mo could not go past a mile and 16th. Nyquist is by Uncle Mo. Mm-hmm. Nyquist has sprint pedigree on the bottom half, worse than the top half. Can he go a mile and eighth, a mile and quarter? If he can, I think he'll win this one. I think he'll win the Kentucky Derby. I think he's the most talented horse in the crop. I have no confidence he can get this distance. And that's the key to the whole picture.
Really? That yeah, and I agree that Nyquist is your most... He's the most well-rounded horse, other than the fact that he's out of Uncle Mo.
Mm-hmm.
He shows, in the Breeders' Cup, he showed that he could go way off the pace. He's fast enough to keep up in the front. Mm-hmm. He shows everything, but it's Uncle Mo. And you could argue, in his only two races around two turns, the front runner and the juvenile, those are kind of his weakest two races. Now, you and I talked about it several weeks ago where I said, well, at least he won in those races. And you say, yeah, that's true. He did win. But if you look at numbers, you look at the San Vicente at 7 furlongs where he looked like a monster.
Yep.
It's just a little different. When he goes around two turns, and now we're going out an extra, we're going a mile and eighth now.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. I get he's a great horse, but can he get a mile and eighth? That's where it comes down to.
Yeah, you touched on it. He is a great horse. I really think he is. I think he's going to go on to do great things. It may not be a Kentucky Derby win. It might as well. This is a race where we get an education on Nyquist. I promise you, he will show us if he can go a mile and a quarter in this mile and eighth race. I promise you.
Do you think there's any shot in hell that, say he goes out and he runs great until about, halfway through the stretch, and uh-huh. he's clearly, is there any chance they don't run him in the Kentucky Derby?
No chance.
Okay.
No chance. They're going to run him in Kentucky. They're going to run him in Pimlico. I really believe that, unless he gets injured, obviously.
Right.
But I think they're going to run him, and I think he could win this race and still show us that sign that he's not going to get the next quarter, or the next eighth. Really, I really do. You see it all the time. For whatever reason, a mile 16th to a mile and eighth, that's the big jump for these horses. If the Florida Derby was a mile and 16th, I would pick Nyquist, and there would be no doubt in my mind he would win. I think he's a better horse than Mahayman. I don't think he's a better horse than him at this distance. That's all it comes down to, really. You can talk about a lot of factors, about pace and about where they're going to sit and what kind of trips. All that does make the difference, but Mahayman should be able to go longer, better than Nyquist.
Well, the biggest story here is not just, I mean, the fact that we're going to find out a lot about Nyquist, but both horses are undefeated. Mm-hmm. Both horses seem, at this point, unbeatable. We're going to see one that is clearly beatable.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is we'll go from a 1 and a 2 who, wow, could one fall several back, yeah. You know, could they go from invincible to very beatable, and then this race is going to show a lot. That's what happens when we get to these mile and eighth races, and even it's even magnified more when you have the two best horses in the same race. To me, I think what's going to happen, and I know, you know, you never know, but with Nyquist drawing near the inside, we know he's got front end speed. He's going to be on or very close to the lead, Nyquist, and I think Moheyman drawing outside, it's going to be just right off his flank. I mean, they're going to be touching almost, if possible. But, I mean, they're not going to be within outside of a length of each other. And when you, I mean, we're going to see something similar like we saw in the Fountain of Youth with Zulu and Moheyman. When they round for home, I think you're going to have them both. And we'll find out at that moment if it's Uncle Mo if it's Nyquist.
One critical thing I think we have to remember, and this is going to be something that this might sound a little crazy to people. Okay, the winner of this race will definitely be number one. That doesn't mean they're the best, because let's look at who these horses have beat around two turns. It's not great, either one of them. Mm-hmm. Nyquist won the Breeders' Cup Classic the Breeders' Cup Juvenile around two turns. Those horses have been awful.
They've come back awful. To do absolutely nothing.
Okay. His other one was the win in the Front Runner, where he beat the same horse that he beat in the Juvenile. That Juvenile is looking bad. So we don't know. Moheyman, who is he? He's beaten Zulu around two turns, which we're still not sure how good he is. We think he's okay.
Which, by the way, on Zulu, all systems seem like he was going to run here. I mean,
Dodges it,
which tells you what Todd Pletcher thinks, at least, of these two horses.
Yeah.
Dodges it. Either the wood or the bluegrass. I'm thinking bluegrass is where they're going to go with him. But that, you know, obviously we'll probably run next week. Skipping here.
Yeah.
But yeah, he beats Zulu, which we might find out next week how good he really is.
Yeah, he could. I'm not sitting here saying these two aren't the best. They very well could be. But it's not a slam dunk. Let's not think that these two are just way better. We don't know that yet.
Greenpoint Crusader.
He beat Greenpoint Crusader in the Holy Bull.
Terrible.
Greenpoint Crusader was, what he lose by? 20 lengths in the Louisiana Derby. He looked awful. He has, you know, okay, Nyquist beat Greenpoint Crusader. Okay, you know, what does that really mean? Moheyman beat Flexibility. He did come back and win a stake, but the next time he looked not good. So there's question marks. Even for the winner, they are not a lock for the Kentucky Derby, but they are a lock to be the number one ranked horse.
Well, yeah, because where else are you going to go? You know, and you could argue that with pretty much every three-year-old right now, is who have they beat, because it's so wide open.
That's true, and that's a good point. But I agree with you. Nobody's really beat anybody.
Except for Songbird. Songbird is one we could say, you know what?
Yeah, well, it's just, yeah, that's a different story. But you know, it's so unestablished is what basically what you're saying, and that's true. I don't argue that, but in that same regard, you don't know for sure that Cupid couldn't beat either one of these horses. You don't know for sure that Dancing Candy and More Spirit couldn't beat one of these two horses. You have no idea. You know Exaggerator can't, but you don't know.
No.
You don't know that Shagaff couldn't beat one of these two horses.
Wait, Shagaff could beat everyone.
He could. I don't think, but he could.
Yeah.
There's no kind of pecking order to this.
No.
That's what makes this fun as we go on. You know, who's going to jump up and maybe challenge these two? You know, for this race, though, I think everybody can hear, you know, in my analysis, Moheyman is who I'm going to pick because of the distance. And I, you know, do I think he's a better horse than Nyquist? No. Do I think I could be wrong on that? Yeah, absolutely. He could just be better, period. But I think the distance is what's going to make the difference.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of factors here to look at, and all seem to kind of point at Moheyman. You're on his home track. He's been training. I mean, not at Gulfstream, but he's been training lights out.
Mm-hmm.
Hasn't had to ship, you know, all those things. He's here. Third off a layoff for the horse, which, I mean, if it helps, and he, you know, McLaughlin hits it 30% off third off a layoff. I think the outside draw benefits Moheyman a little bit here. And I just think that the distance, I mean, it just all goes back to the distance. To me, I loved Nyquist back before he was around two turns. I mean, good reason. I can't get behind him. And I don't necessarily think this is going to be a close race.
Really?
That's kind of my bold statement.
Really? Now, that is a bold statement.
And I mean, close. Like, I'm not saying he's going to win by 10 links, but I think it's going to be opening like up five
three,
links.
Three or more?
Yeah,
five.
Three or more.
Let's do, okay.
Yeah. Would you say three or more? Where are you going with that?
No, I wouldn't. I think he's classy enough to hang in there.
Okay. I just think I guess too much. I just think it's too much. So
wow.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that could be like, this could backfire big time.
It could.
It could really backfire, especially when Nyquist goes out and just kills him. But
see, I wouldn't be completely shocked if he wins. You're kind of saying you, not maybe completely, but pretty surprised.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, and then the other huge factor is, and we've talked about this in the past, mile 8th, check it off his list. Mohamed's already done it.
Yeah.
And he did it nicely. He did it easily. And he did it as a 2-year-old. So, I think it's clear he's gotten better this year as he's developed into a 3-year-old. So, what can he do going now at mile 8th as a 3-year-old? So, all systems seem like I just think he, and again, I'm not saying you're going to tell you he's the Kentucky Derby winner because I'm not going there, but I'm saying you're matching up against a horse who I don't think can go a mile and an eighth with a horse that very well can,
mm-hmm.
and also has a lot of other factors going for Mohamed. So that's where I'm at. Kentucky Derby wise, the jury is still out, but for this race, you and I both are going Mohamed.
Coming this year to a racetrack near you. The race is over. The horse lost. Now comes excuses. The ones that confuse us.
He finds the dirt too deep. But he just needs a very sound surface.
The ones that baffle us.
He didn't break very good. The horse next to me clipped heels. The same horse again. He got me twice.
The ones that we don't believe.
Unfortunately, you know, I don't know for any reason today it didn't show up. I don't know, maybe because it was hard today.
Excuses. You might find them at a racetrack, but at racingdudes.com, you'll just find great picks and great prices for horses. Log on today.
We go from Gulfstream Park in the Florida Derby to Turfway Park in the Spiral Stakes. Now, the Florida Derby was a 100-point race, 140-20-10. It's kind of weird how they do this, but the Spiral is a Kentucky Derby prep, but it's only worth 50. So we go back to the 50-20-10-5. And a field of 12, large field. They're all showing up here. They're trying to get in. Led by Aero Force. Say what? Yeah, rewind it. Yeah, Aero Force. He's back. He apparently is not off the Kentucky Derby trail. Apparently the trainer, Cassie, just lied, I guess. I don't know. I mean, it was 100% definite. This horse is off the trail. See you later. Forget about it. Probably go to turf eventually. Now it's like, oh yeah, by the way, things were okay now with the horse, and we're going to run in the Spiral. So yeah, he's your morning line favorite.
It's unbelievable how this is shaped up. I mean, I've never experienced something like this where the trainer says after a prep race, you know, he broke our hearts and he's off the trail. I mean, that's basically what the guy said. Yeah. I'm paraphrasing, but that's pretty much what he said. And now guess what? He's in the race. Listen, I'm going to pick him, and it could be dumb, but I'm going to give you the reasons why. Now you won't argue this. This is a high-quality thoroughbred. He's a great turf horse.
Oh, my gosh.
Great. So if he has any kind of injury, they're not going to, you know, if he's off at all, they're not going to enter him.
Why would you?
So I think he's got to be ready to go. Two, this is synthetic, and these turf horses run very well on the synthetic. So I think the surface is going to be what he wants. Three, he has a win at Churchill Downs. And I think they kind of reevaluate inside. If we can get him there and somehow it rains like it likes to do at Churchill Downs, he could win the damn thing.
Yeah.
You know, he could. Think about that. He won in the slop at Churchill. He looked great in the slop at Churchill. You know, he could win it. So I think they're taking it serious again. And I think this is why. And then the fourth reason is, he got Jimenez to ride, and this is the best local jockey at the meet. And I think that's huge. I really do. Turfway is you know, it's its own track. There's quirks to it, I'm sure, that Jimenez will know how to negotiate. So I like that. I really like that in a race like this, you know. So those are my things that I'm like, I'm going to give him a shot again.
You know, and really, he's got 10 points currently, Air Force. So, I mean, really, all he needs to do is he could finish third even and have a shot.
Yeah.
Finish second or first, obviously, he's good. Here's the thing, and if Aeroforce comes back, like the Aeroforce that did not run in the Risen Star, if he comes back himself, the horse that I drafted and now dropped, I'm still bitter. if he comes back like that, then it sets up perfect for him. I mean, like you said it perfectly. You know, these turf horses, when you get on the synthetic, they tend to flourish. To me, if he's right, then he's gonna be really hard to beat. But I can't back a horse who, lost by 39 lengths in the Risen Star.
Yeah, it was bad.
Looked semi good until the final turn, and then just literally stopped. But yeah, past that, I guess if you want to scratch that out and believe this horse is fine for whatever. I mean, it's one thing if they say if we don't ever hear any news, it's like whatever reason he just didn't run. Here we entered again. Here we go again.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing. But when you say he's off the trail, it's done, it's over, and then all of a sudden it's back, it's almost like they're stretching. It's like there's reaching. It's like, well, let's just give it a shot. Well, that doesn't give me a lot of confidence to place a bet, especially at 3-1. Who knows what you're going to get post time. So I can't do it. This is a funny one. Rallis is in this race. Last ran the Rebel just a couple weeks ago, and here we go again. Boy, that horse is a mystery for sure. No longer a mystery. He's terrible. But to be a grade one winner and then finishing 10th in the Rebel and then 14th in the Breeders' Cup, 6th in the Champagne. His things have really...
Well, last three races, he's been beaten by a combined 40 lengths. So you can't back that horse.
Oh, my gosh. No. No thanks. So look at this. You look at a lot of horses that are just trying to get in. I mean, you got Dwayne Lucas with the shot in here.
Yeah, that's crazy.
They're just throwing Jensen's a horse that's got a little interest from me. And then you got the outside horse. Anytime Todd Pletcher ships one to Turfway, you got to at least pay attention. Azar, this is a horse that just finally kind of figured things out at Gulfstream Park and won a nice race there. And now, you know, what the heck? He ships him here. It's tough to count out Todd Pletcher. I'm not going to do it. Here though, I landed on a horse who was a late nomination to the Triple Crown, and that is the 2-horse Surgical Strike. Really found this ever since moving to the all weather track. Now I'm not saying this was a Kentucky Derby horse, but if he wins here, he will be. Ever since moving to the all weather track, you know, he's really flourished. His first start at 6.5 furlongs, he came running, missed a place, and then his last start going to mile 16th in Metagula. Did you watch that replay?
Oh, yeah. He looked very good.
Unreal. He came from way out. Went, I mean, literally probably 10 wide in the final turn.
He did, yeah.
And was just flying home. To me, I think if you add distance, the horse is only going to get better, only going to have a better chance of, you know, not having to go so wide and not having to run his heart out down the stretch. I think that, you know, the biggest key with him is that he's got 2 races on this exact track at Turfway, you know, running on the track, and it's very clear this horse is liking running here. In a field that's wide open, I just can't back Aeroforce. I get that obviously, you compare Surgical Strike with Aeroforce in class, it's not close. But with a horse who we know can run on this track, and I think he's getting better as they go longer. I'm going to give him a shot. Number 2, Surgical Strike.
I don't think it's a bad pick. Won the local prep. And like you said, you touched on it. He's got races over the track. And that's a good thing. I put him 4th. Azar was the horse you mentioned for Todd Pletcher. I think this horse has got a real big shot. Another horse that's done mostly all his running on the turf and done decent.
Mm-hmm.
So that should be okay. And then Jensen, I'm with you. Larry Jones, he's won this race before. He won the race with the damn sire, Hard Spun, who went on to finish 2nd in the Kentucky Derby. Mm-hmm. So I liked him. He caught my eye. He had a really nice race last time out at the fairgrounds. So for me, though, hey, I'll take Aeroforce. I'll take a shot.
You can take that chump. I don't want him.
There's a lot of bitterness here, folks.
Time for Rapid Fire Selections brought to you by...
Looking for some action? Well, if it's sports and casino action you're after, USRacing.com has got you covered. At USRacing.com, you can get the latest betting lines on pro and college football, basketball, and all the MLB and NHL action, too. Heck, you can even get the latest odds in the presidential race, the Academy Awards, or who's going to be the next James Bond. Clue, it's probably not going to be P. Diddy, but he's on the list of betting options. And if you're a racing fan like me, you'll love the daily menu and special prop bets. Thoroughbred racing, check. International racing, check. Greyhound racing, check. Harness racing, check. Generous rebates, checkmate. USRacing.com also has a wide variety of casino games as well. So if you're looking for some sports and casino action, look no further than USRacing.com, the place that's setting the pace.
Start at Gulfstream Park, race 5, the Skipaway Stakes. It's a grade 3, one of 7 greatest stakes races on the card at Gulfstream Park on Saturday. Huge day at Gulfstream. It is worth $150,000 for 4-year-olds and up, 1-1 and 1-8. Field of 6, you know, older horses. This would be nice because it's always nice to have that other race on the card for older horses to kind of compare times with 3-year-old race. Who wins?
You're right about that. I love when tracks do that. You know, and that's not always the case. There's not always ones to compare, but this is good. Who wins? I wanted to pick Valid, but after kind of what happened to him last time, I don't know, he about fell, and it kind of had me a little bit worried, so I'm going Pletcher, Savoy Stomp for me.
Yeah, dude. I mean, nothing fancy here. It's rare when you have one of these, but what we have here is a Pletcher progression in the middle of a horse's career. You don't see them often, but when you do, you got to pay attention. Finally stretched the horse out and figured things out. I look for another horse, another jump by this horse. Race 7, the Gulfstream Park Oaks. It's a grade 2. It is a Kentucky Oaks official prep race. It's worth 100 points to the winner, 40, 20, 10 for the remaining three. It's worth $250,000 for fillies, 3-year-olds going 1/1/16th, field of 7. I'm kind of surprised they even got 7. It sounded like they were going to even get like 4 or 5.
Yeah.
So at least we have a semi-respectable race. Seems like to me, you look at the field, you got some new shooters, but Gomo comes in for Doug O'Neill, shipped in with Nyquist. And then you've got Todd Pletcher with his local Off the Tracks, who's very up-and-coming new shooter for him out of his barn. So where are you going?
I understand the appeal for Gomo, but Off the Tracks for me, man. That horse looked too good last time out. Pletcher again at Gulfstream. Velasquez aboard. I like Off the Tracks.
Dude, I'm with you. I wanted to go Gomo. And again, this might sound like a broken record on this podcast, but it is Pletcher Park. Mm-hmm. And it is a big day, so you know how it goes. Pletcher here for me, Off the Tracks. First time starter for him, you know, as she was, you know, she's undefeated. She's a grade 3 winner. It's the first time stretching out, so I guess that, you know, that could give you the concern. But out of curling, I feel very good about it. I mean, we know Pletcher does some of his best work when he first gets that horse into his barn. Mm-hmm. So I'm with you, Off the Tracks. Race 8, the Appleton Stakes. It's a grade 3, we're 200K for 4-year-olds and up. We're 1 mile on the turf, field of 8. What do you got?
I'm sticking with my boy, Todd Pletcher. I'm going to pick him again, all included, from the rail.
I'm going against it. I'm going against it as much as the temptation is there. I went number 7, Force the Pass. Hasn't ran since September, but this grade 1 winner should be able to get the win just on class alone at this distance. 5 starts, 3 wins, 2 seconds. While he can get all distances, he's got 3 wins at Gulfstream Park, 3 starts at Gulfstream Park, 2 of them wins, 1 second. So, to me, all systems to go, Force the Pass. Race 11, the Orchid Stakes, grade 3, we're 200K for fillies and mares, 4-year-olds and up, going 1 3/8 miles on the turf, field of 9. This is a fun one. What do you think?
A lot of chances in here. A lot of horses I like as well, but Todd Pletcher for me, number 4 photo call.
Should they just like click through each one of these and just see what Todd Pletcher has? You're going to be screwed when he doesn't have one in one of these. Here I go. I went with photo call too. Broken record. Seriously. You know, she ran a nice 4th in a return back in February against Teppan. Distance might be the only question. But, you know, working out great, and history shows she improved 2nd off a layoff. So I'm with you. Photo call. Race 12, the Honey Fox Stakes. It's a grade 2. We're 300K for fillies and mares, 4-year-olds and up. We're 1 mile on the turf. Field of 8. Here we go. Todd Pletcher. And this time he's got Sandiva. I mean, are you real? Don't even ask, because I know you got to go Todd Pletcher, right?
Oh, absolutely in this one, because I really like Sandiva anyway. Even if you train Sandiva, I might pick her. Yeah, Todd Pletcher again. He loves winning that Honey Fox.
Tried to win with Sandiva on the dirt last time. Got 2nd. Tried to do the whole Mission Wish thing. Almost worked. Now back on the turf where she's best, we know. Last time on turf, she beat Tutu Posse, who beat her easily and then came back to win the grade 2 at Santa Anita last week. So... Mm-hmm. Clearly, that definitely bodes well for Sandiva. has run some good races with Tappan, clear class of this race. I mean, I know it's Todd Pletcher. I know you keep hearing it, but Sandeven. Race 13, the Pan American Stakes, grade 2, or 2 and a K for 4-year-olds and up. Going 1 1/2 miles on the turf. These are always a blast to handicap.
Yeah.
Field of 11, too, so it's really easy. Where are you going?
Well, you got to lean on Chad Brown this time because Todd Pletcher didn't have one in there.
Taps out, and then here comes Chad Brown. That's where you go.
I guess poor Todd just ran out of horses. He couldn't find one to run in this one.
He didn't want to sweep them all, so.
Exactly, I guess so. Wake Forest for me, the 7-horse for Chad Brown. First time running for Chad. I think he's going to like the distance. Think he gets it done.
I laugh because I feel like we could made this a lot quicker and a lot simpler because I went with Wake Forest. You know, Chad Brown, it is his first start with this horse, hits at 31% with his first time with that trainer. We last saw this horse finishing 6th in the Arlington Million, gets Johnny V to ride. And, you know, in a race that's wide open, I think you might get a decent prize just because it is so wide open. It's not like Wake Forest is a world beater here. I just think Chad Brown gets it done. Wake Forest. Let's go to Turfway Park in the undercard for the Spiral Race 9. The Bourbonnette Oaks, grade 3, worth $100,000 for Philly's 3-year-olds. 1 mile on the all-weather track. This, too, is a Kentucky Oaks race, prep race. And just like the Spiral, it is worth 50 instead of 100. So 50, 20, 10, 5. Field is loaded with 14. If you count the, if you discount the exceptions, you get 12. Full field. And it's, I mean, it is bad. It is a bunch of just wannabes, new shooters trying to get. I mean, this is going to be a horse that the couple that win here, the two maybe they make it to the Oaks, the Kentucky Oaks from here, are going to be horses that finish way out of it in the Kentucky Oaks. They don't see it, but where are you going? You got to pick one of them, right?
You do. I'm just scanning back and forth right now. I still haven't made a pick. It's so terrible.
Confidence our listeners look for.
Well, how about this angle?
Coin?
How about this angle? Dallas Stewart, it always pulls something out of his hat. Let's go with the rail. Lemon Drop Bell for me.
Hey, wager all your money, guys, on this horse because he feels like it is a lock. I went with number 3, Marquee Miss. This is a homer pick. This is a horse that, of course, ran at Oaklawn. I think the perfect distance for her now. You know, going a mile. That's the thing. It's a Kentucky Oaks prep. If she wins, we know that she can't get the distance, I don't think, in the Oaks. I wouldn't feel confident in it.
No.
But at a mile, I feel good. Channing Hill, our boy, comes in to ride with her. In the Honeybee last out, she quit. She totally quit. It was an off track, and her history shows she doesn't like off tracks. So, you know, with Channing coming, I think we'll get a price considering what we saw from her last time. If you scratch that one out, I think this is just fine. So, assuming all systems are a go, I went number 3, Marquee Miss. Santa Anita Park, race 7, the San Simeon Stakes, the grade 3 with $100,000 for 4-year-olds and up. Going 6.5 furlongs on the turf, field of 9. Hey, we got a semi-large field at Santa Anita for a turf race, prep race. Not a prep race, but like an actual graded stakes race.
Right, yeah.
Now we're talking 4 horses.
I mean,
we got new
horses, isn't it? Maybe because they're going downhill on the turf. So, hey, let's just throw them in there.
Hey, that'd be fun.
Yeah. It'd be fun.
Guns loaded the 7-horse for Doug O'Neill, and then number 8 outside Nashville. For Holndorf, for those seem like your two logical shots here. Where are you going?
I think they are the logical shots. I went with outside Nashville. I hardly can go against Holndorf when he has a good one.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing is with this horse, you know, I think the combo is finally right. Horse seems to be getting better at a shorter distance, and it seems to be better on the turf. Well, guess what? Now you get the best of both worlds. She gets both. He gets both, and I can't, like you say, Holndorf for Martin Garcia. I'm going that angle as well. Outside Nashville for me. The 4th and final pool of the 2016 Kentucky Derby Future Wager starts April 1st. You're listening to this on April 1st, so it starts today through the 3rd, through the weekend. The 4th and final, Mohe Man, of course, leads your all betting options at 7-2. Your second choice, 8-1. So there we go again with Nyquist. So we got the top two matching up. Pass there. Of course, the Mutual Field All Others is now drifting up to 10-1. Mm-hmm. So it is getting higher than it usually is in these pools. But we have a couple new shooters. American Pioneer is new to the wagering list. Creator is new to the wagering list at 30-1. Dazzling Gem at 50-1 is new. Outwork is new at 30-1. And then you got a couple that have been on previously, but weren't on the last one. Cherry Wine is 20-1. Flexibility is back at 50-1. And Tom's Ready, after that big performance last weekend, is back at 20. You laugh. Big performance. Well, big considering what we were running in, is back at 20-1. So, I know how big of a fan you are of these. Are there any that at least tempt you a little?
Yes. Can you believe it?
No, I can't, actually. You told me today you wanted to do this segment. Yeah. I totally expected you to just bash it yet again.
Oh, you're an idiot if you play in it. But
you would like to.
I will not play in it. But if I had to, for the sake of podcasts, for the sake of people that want to play and want an opinion, I actually have three horses on the list that I really like and I think could win the Kentucky Derby. You want to know who my number one sleeper is right now?
Go.
So you do want to know. Creator for Steve Asmussen. I don't know what it is. He makes a really good impression on the track. You know, he looks like a champion racehorse. He's progressing really nicely. He just reminds me of Nero a little bit. Not how he looks, but like his running style. Mm. It took Nero a long time to break his maiden, but when he did, he got really good.
Kind of under the radar.
Under the radar. Think about this. The horse broke his maiden, finished third in the Rebel Stakes. Just like Nero broke his maiden, second Louisiana Derby, second the Arkansas Derby, second the Kentucky Derby. Creator, I think, can do this kind of thing. I mean, and they talked about how when he goes longer, they're going to try to get him a little closer to the pace than what he's been. He's just a one-run closer. Asmussen knows he's going to have to correct that a little bit. I really like him. So that's one right there that I wouldn't mind you throwing a wager on.
Yeah, you're getting, we'll mention that again, getting 30-1 on him right now at the start of the pool. And also, obviously, if you listen to the podcast, the U.S. Racing promo we do in this podcast as well on the website, they offer Kentucky Derby wagers. You can lock in now. Right now, you can get Creator at 250-1. I'm not making that up. RacingDudes.com, search U.S. Racing, you'll find the Kentucky Derby odds right now. Go check it out. 250-1 for a horse.
And I'll say this, I hate these bets or whatever, but that is worth $2 or $5.
Right.
I mean, just make it and don't even think about it. You right. Know? So yeah, Creator's one I really like. I really like Outwork. And people are going to say, gosh, he dogs Uncle Mo all the time. I think he can get the distance. Outwork is the only horse that Uncle Mo has right now that's in the Derby contention that has distance pedigree on the bottom. So if he can get the distance pedigree from the bottom to come out in him and can stay the route of ground, he's shown a lot of talent. He went from racing against nobodies to racing the Tampa Bay Derby, which maybe those were nobodies too, but they were better than what he's been up against. He did all the dirty work in the race. He fought back when Destin passed him. He tried. I think he'll run a really nice race next time out. So that's another one. I really like him.
30-1 as well on future wager. 200-1 at U.S. Racing.
Yeah. So there it is again. You know.
Don't tell it. We're giving you long shots.
Yeah. I mean, listen, don't bet the favorites in these damn things. Are you kidding me? Nyquist at 7-2. Hell, he might be 6-1 when he leaves the game, especially if he loses. I mean, Mo Hayman 7-2.
Well, it's funny. All year we say this is going to be crazy. The Derby's going to it's going to be something crazy, unexpected.
Yeah.
Why pick a favorite?
Exactly. And the last one I'll say, and now this one's really wild. He's on my list of three I like, but I don't know. He's running out of time. American Pioneer, really nice maiden winner at Oaklawn Park. Maybe not for the Derby. He's not quite got the foundation under him that the two previously mentioned horses. But I do kind of like American Pioneer as well.
Well, American Pioneer, as I mentioned, is new to the list, 50-1. He's so new, he's not even available at U.S. Racing. So
really? So they don't even have him on there?
No.
Okay, well, no. And maybe that's a sign right there that's a little crazy.
Well, you know, he was like, just for, you know, talking points here, he was a new, he was late. Addition to the Triple Crown nominees, Dazzling Gem. That was the whole tie. You know, he Dazzling Gem had beaten American Pioneer. The American Pioneer came back and just really looked great. Now it seems like American Pioneer will run in the Arkansas Derby.
Mm-hmm.
Dazzling Gym might also run in that as well. So yeah, it's going to be a one and you're done. It's going to be one shot. See what he's got. If he's good enough, finish top three, then we'll see him in Kentucky. Otherwise,
that's why he's a risk.
Right. And that's one that, to me, if I'm looking, I mean, that goes up to, as far as U.S. racing, you know, the highest odds they offer right now, are 275-1. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to need somewhere in that ballpark on American Pioneer.
Well, an American Pioneer, he has 0 points. So that's really tough. But Creator and Outwork, they have points. I mean, Outwork might be able to make the Derby without even running again. He's going to run again. But he could, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So at least they've got a little bit of foundation. They've got some stakes experience. And then you get them some more, and they run even better in that next one. They could really be primed at a price, even on just Derby Day, to do some damage. So those are the ones I'm really leaning on right now.
By the way, Goatstown is 250-1 U.S. racing.
Which,
if you're interested,
if you don't know Goatstown, he was beaten by American Pioneer. He finished second, so maybe Goats learned a little bit. The Dwayne Lucas trained Goatstown and can jump up there. I wouldn't bet him at 3 million.
The new shooter Lonnie that won over Dubai is 100-1.
I think Goatstown could beat Lonnie
at U.S. racing, and he's 50-1.
Seriously, I think Goatstown would beat Lonnie.
I don't know.
In a match race, I think he would. I think
we should have a match race between Lonnie and Goatstown.
We would sell
the Dubai
out.
Horse.
Oh my gosh, we would sell out any track.
It'd be you, me, and Dwayne Lucas. That's what it'd be.
That's true. No, we would have to have it at a track that holds at least 100,000 people.
Just looking over the future wager, Cherry Wine at 21. No way. Nah, and I picked that horse to win the Rebel.
He would have to be $3
billion. I can't do that. I don't know. Cupid. Cupid is a 10-1, but still, that's way too low for me to play any kind of. But you can get 33-1 at U.S. Racing. That, you're getting in there, the area where if you really like Cupid, that's a play.
Yeah, at 10-1, do not play the horse.
No. Flexibility, no thanks. That's a waste. Dazzling Gym.
No, I can't.
Sudden Breaking News. At 30-1, would you play that at all?
No.
Just think about it. Would you play it at all? Because it's too quick. You get Sudden Breaking News. I can't do it either.
No.
Sudden Breaking News at 10-1 at U.S. Racing. No way.
No.
Can't do that. Shagaff is 30-1. I know you love Shagaff. Let's see what Shagaff is. 25-1 at U.S. Racing. So I'm with, when we're talking like Creator, Outwork horses that we're talking 200-1 plus.
Yeah, that's a little different.
$10.
Yeah.
I mean, shit.
That's a huge payout.
That's a huge payout for just throwing some money on there.
What is More Spirit?
7-1 at U.S. Racing.
Too short.
And 12-1. So you actually, I mean, it's actually better odds to play the future wager.
Still too short. It's too short for him.
Yeah, you got the whole idea is you got to think, where are these horses going to be? Like, what odds are we going to get them at?
Yeah.
Come Derby Day, if you think I'm going to get anywhere, even if it's up or down a few, at least you know they're going to be running that day. Whereas you play More Spirit, guess what?
He might be 15-1 on Derby Day, especially if he doesn't win at Santa Anita.
But if he gets hurt in Santa Anita and he doesn't even run,
you save money.
You saved your money because
you can put it on some other horse. So he'll probably lose.
But the point is, but if you think 200-1, and that's an easy bet because it's only you're only having to lay.
Yeah.
$10, or do you want to lay...
Or five, even.
How about playing Nyquist at 9-2? How crazy is that at U.S. Racing? Or,
yeah.
I mean, Nyquist at 8-1, you're getting... If you really like Nyquist, I guess you could play it. 7-2 on Mohe Man. Oh, my gosh. Why would you play that?
I don't know.
I mean, American Pharoah was 3-1.
Right.
In the Kentucky Derby.
When the gates opened. Yeah. I think Mohe Man closed at 5-2 in the last pool. Which that is beyond insanity. And by the way, if you cash a 5-2 future wager on Mohe Man,
pat on the back.
don't come contact us and say, "Well, I cashed."
Do not take a picture of your ticket saying
no,
that you had
because
it.
You just that's not a smart bet.
That actually makes you look worse.
Yeah, if he whips if he whips Nyquist and you get him 5-2 on Derby Day, okay. But a future wager, come on.
So you have $10. I'm giving you $10 right now.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you putting your money on?
You're giving it to me. It's just mine.
You have to use it on the feature wager.
5 to win on creator, 5 to win on Outwork.
There you go. And there you go. You're getting huge prizes. Yep. Easy.
I hope one of them wins. I look really good.
Wraps it up. Check us out at racingdudes.com for our free picks. And make sure to check out our handicapping products, which we have combined forces with Guaranteed Tip Sheet to provide the best tip sheet on the market. 100% money back guarantee, and now covering all tracks. We even covered Dubai last week. On Tuesday, March 29th, our premium tip sheets paid out almost $20,000, and 86% of our best bets finished in the money. So make sure you check that out. We're currently covering 17 tracks, all offering free picks. We're on Twitter at @race_dudes, LinkedIn, Google Plus, and Facebook. All right, I'm Jared Welch. He's Aaron Halterman. Nyquist versus Mohamed. Make sure you tune in to watch that. Good luck this weekend. RacingDudes.com for all of your needs. RacingDudes.com for all of your leads. RacingDudes.com for all of your bets. RacingDudes.com, as good as it gets.